Awesome. So, yeah, everybody's in here. That's going to be... Okay. God, I just want to... All right. So, blemish therapy. Here we go. I got some pictures that I want to bring up, if my lovely assistant, Fernando, would do so. Yes. Woo, Fernando. Oh, yeah, okay. So, this is a blemish. Yes? Can you see it? Right there. Okay, it's an age spot. Can we go to the next? Okay, poor guy. I mean, he uses himself, though, for like an acne thing. I would never in my life, unless you paid me a lot of money, want to be the spokesperson for that. Okay, so he's got some acne issues. Next one. Just keep going. Oh, yeah. Those look like they hurt, don't they? Like the zits on your lips. Like, oh, no. It looks painful. He's smiling, too. Look. You would not be smiling with them on your face. Okay, next. Oh, yeah. This is a scar right here. He got all messed up. Real good. Okay, is that it? Do I have another? Okay. A boil. It's beautiful, isn't it? Okay, next. Uh-huh, and different types of warts and different things that you can get. I think it's my last one. Is that all I got? Okay. You can turn it off because I don't want to look at it the whole time. We can X right out of that. You know, I think we all look in the mirror every morning. Okay, maybe some of our blemishes aren't quite as like, like some of those are. But I know me, and I know I am a big old critic of myself. So when I get up in the morning, let me tell you, let me just go back a little bit. I got pregnant with Malachi. We all know this. I had kid after kid after kid. So I got pregnant with Malachi, and I'm like 7 months along, and I look down one day, and I'm like getting ready to go paint my fat, swollen, chunky, beanie weenie toes that he gave me, and I go down to do it, and I'm like, what is that? And I thought I had dirt on the tip of my foot. I got a freckle. I don't know why, but I have this little freckle that just popped right up, and it's right on the tip of my big toe when I was pregnant with him. And, you know, my doctor said, yeah, sometimes when you're pregnant, it can bring up different, you know, blemishes and all this stuff. And I was like, awesome. Okay, so I have a freckle on my toe. At least I can cover it up with a sock. Well, then I get pregnant with Hattie. And, you know, same time, like 8 months into it, I go and I look in the mirror and I got this little dark little spot. Looks like a little age spot. It's right here. I can point right to it. I know where it's at because I look at it every single day. So, you know, another blemish. And every time, Gabriel was the only one that was good to me. He didn't do any of those things to me, except now he makes up for it. But every time I go into the mirror, I'm looking at myself like this. Oh, I'm starting to look a little older. Or look at that. I can't cover that up. It's too dark with makeup. You know, it just, it's not so pretty anymore. I just feel really insecure. And do we not, if you're honest, do we not? Because I don't know, Denise quoted only 2% of the women in America or, you know, in the world feel beautiful. So do you not do that? Do you go in the mirror and you find, am I the only one? Raise your hand if you could look at your face or you know of a blemish that you're very, very aware of in your body. Every single person in here is. And so what brought me to talking about this is it comes out of Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading from different translations, so just kind of bear with me. But you can write it down. Philippians 2, chapter verse 13 says this. For it is God who works in both of you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and questionings, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without blemish. Verse 13, other translations put it as without grumbling and fault-finding with God and with one another, without complaining and arguing. Paul and Timothy in this scripture, specifically in Philippians chapter 2, they're talking to a group of people in Philippi. And what they're speaking about the church is what they're doing is they're revealing some of their blemishes. It's exactly what they're doing. But in this specific issue, he's addressing an attitude blemish that the church is dealing with, an attitude towards God that they have, an attitude towards their fellow brothers and sisters within the church. While Paul's addressing this issue, this specific one, we all know that attitude is not the only blemish that we can discover in our character, is it, though? I mean, for me, yes. But for most of us, there's a lot of other blemishes that can come into our spiritual walk with Christ and with one another. So what does blemish therapy mean exactly? Pretty much we're basically going to deal with getting the blemishes out of our life. As Paul's writing to Philippi, he says, he says later on, you got to get rid of this. You got to become blemish free. This is not okay. So the goal is to be blemish free. If I want to deal with my blemish, though, A, I first must identify my blemish. Identify the blemish. What is a blemish? The definition of a blemish, we looked at some pictures, but the definition is a mark that detracts from appearance as a pimple or a scar, a defect or flaw, a stain. A blemish is something pretty much that others can see on the outside of us, and they're viewed as undesirable. Some blemishes are very in your face. There is no question that you have that blemish, right? For instance, the one on my face. Every time I get in the mirror, I see it. But I'm sure I got one somewhere else, like on my backside somewhere. There's something going on that's not in my face, that I don't see every time I look in the mirror. It's the same thing in your character, in your walk, you know, in your attitude. There are some blemishes that are going to be like, ha, here I am. You have a nasty attitude, and it is all in everyone's face. And then there's some that are very subtle, and they're very within us, and they work within us. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because we're going to talk about some of that. Okay, but what if, you know, I'm not aware of my blemish? What if it is on, like, you know, a side I can't see it? How do I still identify where it comes from? Well, there's three areas that I believe that you can look to for revealing your blemish, okay? First, look for the evil around you. This would be your past environment, ladies. These are things that occur to us that were out of our control. Different skin and allergy specialists have found this, and they say this. Environmental factors such as pollution can irritate the skin and cause blemishes to form. So growing up, what did you see that was unattractive? The zit, like right in the middle of the forehead of your family. What was it for you? Was it an alcoholic parent? Was it sexual abuse? Was it verbal abuse? Financial instability? Maybe you grew up feeling like you had nothing, poverty. Was it just like a cold, surface, unloving relationship with your family, with your parents, with your siblings? Death of a parent, maybe. Abandonment. What is it? What was it for you? That blemish that you had no control over. George A. Boyd from the Mandrasham Institute of Spiritual Studies stated this. Bear with me. When you grow up in a dysfunctional family, you experience trauma and pain from your parents' actions, words, and attitudes. For some of you, it has led you to attempt to flee the pain of your past by alcohol or drug use. Others of you feel inexplicably compelled to repeat the abuses that were done to you on your own children or on your spouse. Others of you have felt inner anxiety or rage and don't know why you feel as you do. Does any of those like ring a bell to you guys? Where you could feel that? Like, I mean, the last one, especially for me, there's times where I'm like, I just feel so angry. I just feel so enraged, and there's something within me, and I just can't really figure out why. There's a blemish within me, though. And these are things, if you can identify with one or two or three, you know, pick one and say, okay, what was it? I want to make this clear, though. If you grew up in situations such as these, you guys, you were innocent. It was not at all in God's plan for you to experience those things. The things that occurred to you that are a part of your environment were a product of choice by someone else. And that product of choice was that person choosing sinful nature over God's nature. Do you understand that? It wasn't God willing that on you. This was something that occurred that Satan desired to happen to you. You're not responsible for that. However, you are now an adult, right? Every girl in here wears our big girl panties, right? We're all adults. And now, like it or not, we are a survivor or a victim of that trauma. And it's up to you what you do with your past. I can say that pretty freely. I grew up in a home where sexual abuse and problems were very frequently talked about. It was never a question of, ooh, can I step there or not? It was all out there. My father is a victim of sexual abuse as a child, and he will talk about it, you know, as much as he needs to in order to help himself or help anyone else. But the one thing that I have learned from my dad, and he still works through these things years and years and years after initially even stating it, one thing I've learned from him is that he is not a victim. of that tragedy. As a matter of fact, he's a survivor, and he gets to benefit the lives of others through it. And we're going to place more on that. But the point is, it is up to you. Remember, the goal in this point is not to blame, but to treat your symptom. Okay? We'll get to the treatment part later. Second thing that you have to do to reveal your blemishes, you have to look for the evil within you. Now, this is your heart. Some of this can just come from who we are, the hormones inside of us. This, ladies, is very much your responsibility. Okay? Studies performed by skin and allergy specialists note this. Stress and hormonal changes can also cause blemishes. In particular, a hormone called androgen can result in blemishes when it becomes particularly active. This is because the hormone increases production of sebum, the skin's natural oil. As this oil accumulates, it increases the chance for bacteria to grow and to clog the pores. So the unclean pore, the clogged pore that we're going to talk about in this section, is your heart. Ask yourself, what is in your heart? With me, you know, what is it that I allowed personally? Food and allergy specialists have concluded this, that different foods can affect acne and cause certain outbreaks. Did you know that? Like, I'm sure that I had acne in high school because I ate like a Snicker bar every day. I'm positive of it. I didn't know that then. Now, you know, I see it. So there's foods that can cause an outbreak. It's what you put into you. So what are you feeding yourself? Are you feeding yourself bitterness? Do you feed yourself resentment, anger, deceit? Man, when I was in high school, I was so angry. And, I mean, I still, like, it is a everyday struggle for me to remain calm when I am pushed a little over my limit. I'm for real. Like, there is almost a daily incident where I feel like I could go off on somebody. It is deep within me because I made really poor choices about what I fed my heart when I was in high school. I let hurts and everything else sit within me, and I became frustrated and I closed off, and now I struggle with being an angry person. But for you, what is it? What do you feed your heart? What do you allow to stay in there and clog it? James 3:14 says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. What do you guys allow yourself to see, to hear, to watch? This is something that's been kind of a new thing for me. I've been really working on the music that you listen to, the movies that you listen to. Morgan, I know I see you smiling because I got Morgan real good a couple weeks ago on some music stuff. And before that, I got Sharon and some other ones. I get my girls. So we're sitting around, and, like, I've been addressing this with teenagers, with my teens a lot, because a song will come on the radio, or I'll see it on their iPod, and it is, like, for real foul. Like, I can't even say it. It's like, yeah, smack that whatever, and go blah, 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 and treat her like trash, and have sex with her and leave her. Okay, they don't say it like that. They say it 10 times worse, but that's the message that comes out. And this is what, now if you're a mom, you guys need to be looking for this, because your kids are filling themselves with this stuff. And you can sit back, and I remember being in high school, and I remember saying, well, I like the beat. I mean, I just like the beat. Well, that's awesome, because there's lots of other good beats that you could find without trashing your heart. There are things that you guys need to look for that you need to say, okay, I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to allow that into me. It's not healthy. So ladies, watch it. Watch your kids. When I was in high school, I listened to it, and I had a nasty attitude. And I do believe that some of it came from the music and the words and the things that I let into me. It also comes up in our movies. You know, I hear, and listen, if you know me at all, you know that I can laugh and I can have fun with the best of them. I'm not like this, no, you couldn't watch that. Whatever, you know, this isn't okay. But there are some things that we need to draw a line on. There's been movies where people told me, oh, my goodness, Ashley, you've got to see that movie. It's so funny. And they're telling me how hilarious it is. And I'm like, oh, all right, you know, I'll watch it or whatever. So I, like, trust their word. I go pop the movie in, and I start watching it. And good thing I wasn't with any of my teens, because I'm like this. Is this what's funny? Like, just, it's the whole thing's about sex and being trashy and not caring about what you do with your body and who you're with, and we're going to make light of it? Like, the whole time, the whole movie. And I'm like this, I don't think it's okay anymore. I think we got to raise some standards on the things that we take into ourselves. I think it's what God says to us. He says very clearly in Proverbs 4:23, and keep watch over your heart with all care, so you will have life. So watch what you're putting in your heart, your music, your movies, your books, all those things that go into you. Our flesh, you guys, our flesh, people, us, we want to fill our heart with worldliness. It is in our sinful nature to want to be that way. We have an appetite for sin, I believe. That's why, if you remember, Paul writes in Corinth, and what does he say? He says, I do what I do not want to do, and the evil I keep on doing, this I don't want to do, and I keep on doing it. And, like, you can read that scripture, and by the end of it, you're like, what the heck is wrong with him? He is not okay. Because the whole time he's like, I don't want to do this, but I do want to do it, and blah, blah, blah. And then I sit back, and I'm like, So RJ ticks me off one day, and I'm like, oh, you are so blah, 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 blah. And I'm, like, tearing him down with my words, like, giving it to him. And with him, I see, his face just, he has a really sad face. Like, he just goes, down. And, I just see I'm beating him into the ground. And the whole time, in the back of my mind, I'm like, this man, he does not deserve this. But then I keep doing it. And then I tell myself, oh, I'm sorry, babe. I'm not going to act like that, no more. I'm really going to try. And then a week later, man, he sets me off. And where am I at? I'm doing the things I do not want to do. It's because I have let evil into my heart. And it's beginning to control me. So you guys got to look at it and say, okay, what's going into my heart? What is affecting me? The third thing that you need to do is, after you've done your heart check, you need to look for people around you. A lot of blemishes are caused by touch. My kids broke out on their faces when different people would hold them because of perfumes or different things on their skin, and they would get, they had sensitive skin, they'd get little rashes. It was something that someone else, had on them. They can also be contagious. There's blemishes that are contagious, the warts that we looked at. Many of those, you can go up and shake somebody's hands. You guys are going to be thinking about it now, aren't you? Shake somebody's hand, and you're going to walk away, and here out of nowhere, you're going to have a wart pop up. Some things are contagious. So you got to look at the people around you. How do the people closest to you affect you? In Jeremiah 9, chapter 4 through 5, he says, beware of your friends. Do not trust your brothers. For every brother is a deceiver and every friend a slanderer. Friends deceive friends and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. They weary themselves with sinning. Now, in this specific passage, Jeremiah is talking to a group of false prophets, people who said they were of God but were not, and a group of people that were following them. And what he's saying is, there are people who claim to be of God, and they're completely not. Listen, he says, and what they do, all they do is they stir up trouble. They lie. They allow you to break each other down, to deceive one another. And if you are one of those people within your church body, now I'm talking to the believers here, people who have committed to Christ. If you are one of the people within your church body that have become this, that are not trustworthy, that deceive one another, that allow backbiting, that allow dishonesty, then you are causing a blemish and a stain upon your church. Now, if you are with somebody who you know are doing this, you are being blemished. So you need to look to who you're around. Have you ever, woke up one morning and you looked in the mirror and there's, a little, you can see, a red zit and it's, sensitive a little bit, and you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, that one's not ready. It's not ready to go yet. It's too fresh. If you pop it, you're going to get a scar, or it's going to be all black. It's going to bleed and you're going to have a cotton little piece of tissue stuck to it. So you have to walk out of the house. So you leave the house and you go out and you're hanging out with your friends or whatever and all is well. And then you got to go to the bathroom. You run into the bathroom, you're washing your hands, and you look up and that little red blemish, that little zit, now has a big white head on the end of it. And you're like, oh, how long has it looked like this? And come to find out, it's looked like that for a while. And you want to go out to your friends and be like, do you see this? Did you see this? How come you didn't say something? Why didn't you tell me? Go pop that, girl. Put some stuff on it. It looks bad. We have friends, and we can laugh about it because, in a sense, it's funny. But for real, we have, spiritual zits and crap all over our face sometimes. And we have friends that will let us walk around all day, fellow sisters in Christ, that will let us walk around all day thinking we look pretty and not say a thing. And they see it clearly. To where they need to be like this. No, not okay. You need to get rid of that. That's not okay. But the problem is, ladies, sometimes we like those friends, don't we? We like to fly under the radar without the challenge, without the accountability. So ask yourself, do my friends allow timidity? Do they allow deceit? Do they allow me to be bitter? Do they allow me to gossip? Do they allow slander? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. I think Stephanie read that. So do your friends make you clear, aware, or do they leave you flawed? All right, after you've identified my blemishes, those are your three ways. So I want to encourage you guys to look over those and say, okay, where do most of my blemishes stem from? But after you've done that, how do I deal or treat the blemishes? First, we identify. B, we address the blemish. Why tackle it? Why even worry about it? Philippians 2:15 goes on to say this, that you may show yourselves to be blameless, innocent, and uncontaminated children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars, or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. You address it because if you do not, you guys, none of the above that we just read will ever be able to transpire in your life or in the lives of others around you. How do I address my blemish specifically? I address my blemish first by immediately dealing with the outbreak. You got to treat it as an emergency. My son, one day we were at the preschool, and he comes up to me, and he has just got, like, it looks like welts on his face and, like, on his back, and it looks like somebody, like, beat him. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm looking at him, checking out. It's all over his back. These just huge welts. And he's like, I don't know. I'm itchy. Well, he had a really bad hive breakout. You know, and I'd never seen hives, like, really to the extent that I had seen them this day with him. So, you know, I do the mom thing, like the worried, nervous mom thing, and I call the doctor. He looks like somebody beat him. He's got welts all over him. And my doctor's like, you know, give him some Benadryl, see if it goes, you know, let it go down, and then we'll set an appointment, you know, and we'll look at it. Does he appear to be breathing well, all that stuff? Yeah, you know, he's fine. He's running around like a crazy person. So, you know, I give him the Benadryl. I treat it. The hives go away. But what happened the next day? The hives come back. So I'm giving Benadryl until I can get him to the doctor, right? So some blemishes you treat as an emergency. I think that there's some blemishes that, like, they just require a quick fix for the moment. And it doesn't stop there, and I'm going to talk about that later. I think about Taylor Bedorf. So Taylor, right, she moved over to the Crossings, and, man, she brought a lot of baggage with her. And I remember the first, like, 2 months. Like, the first month, she pretty much lived with me. So it was a day in and day out little battle of working through some things. The second month, you know, she was back at home. And she would call me sometimes at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. And she would be like this, are you asleep? And I'd be like, yeah. No, I'm not asleep. No, I don't want to make her feel any worse. Yeah, I'm awake. It's fine. What's up? I don't know what's wrong with me. You know, and it would go into this just sobbing, like, there's something wrong, and I keep crying, and I don't know why. But I feel really angry, and then I feel sad, and I'm frustrated, and I just don't know what's wrong. I just need to say it. I just feel messed up. And I would be on the phone like this. Okay. All right. Let's, you know, tell me how you feel. And I'd let her get it all out. I knew at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was not going to get to the root of the problem. At 3 o'clock in the morning, over the phone, I was not going to be able to fully diagnose the issue. But you know what I was able to do? I was able to stop the spreading of it. We were able to open up and say, okay, I'm hurting now. I'm frustrated now. I don't know why, but I know it's not okay, so I got to tell somebody, and I got to do it now. Sometimes, ladies, we just need to look at a situation and be like, I'm about to flip out. I got to call somebody. And I just got to let them know, hey, I'm not okay. You know, and sometimes it's just that. But this is where most of us want to put concealer on it, right? Kind of like the foundation stuff. Our first response, I know it's mine physically, is to see a little zit and just, you know, put on a little bit more powder. Cover it up a little bit. But spiritually, the problem is concealer does not solve it, you guys. The problem with spiritually concealing our outbreaks is that looking through Scripture, it doesn't happen that way. You constantly run into statements like this, and I want to encourage you guys to look through the New Testament especially, and look up the Holy Spirit. And what he constantly says, what the word constantly says is, the Holy Spirit did what? Does anybody know? Revealed this. It almost always says that the Holy Spirit revealed something. When God is a part of you, the Holy Spirit is not a concealer. He's a revealer. And I know that most of us do not like that. Okay? Because it's very vulnerable. So when you simply conceal an outbreak and don't deal with it, don't think it's going to go away. Okay? Get some emergency treatment. Talk to somebody. Do it now. Second, you got to deal with the cause. First you deal with the symptom, then you deal with the cause. This is more like your long-term health care. Okay? After you go to the ER and they find out something kind of is wrong with you, but it's not fixable right then, where do they send you? Does anybody know? To a specialist. You got to go see somebody further, right? This is what this would be, the specialist. Can I get up my first picture? Yes, you know what I'm talking about. You're so good. Okay, see his nose? What's this appear to be on his nose? I mean, you guys are quiet or something. Oh, okay. Okay, that's it. Okay, so can we scroll through to the next? Possibly. Does that look like a zit? Because the first picture that I showed you was not a zit. In fact, it was a staph infection. The next stage of your staph infection turns into something like this. And can we go to the next? Yeah. Right. If you look through, and this was a little bit nicer than some of the pictures that I found. You guys, some blemishes, they appear to need temporary care. But they end up being deadly because after these stages, they turn into infections and you die. You can turn it off so they don't have to stare at it. In verse 15, it says this, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. The word harmless or blameless here actually was the Greek word for sincere, which means it just meant to be unmixed and pure. The idea here was to be artless, to be simple. Back in the day, when they would have marketplaces, they would make idols, and they would fashion them. And what would happen is you would find a crack, like the person who sculpted it would find a crack in the idol once it was already finished. So you know what they would do is, what they started doing is they started dipping these idols, these little statues, in hot wax. What was the point in that? It covered the crack. It covered the imperfections of the statue. And so they would do this, and they would put it out, and they would sell it, just like it was as solid as it ever was supposed to be. And people would come through the marketplace, and they'd buy their statue, and they'd get home, and they'd set their statues typically outside. I mean, they didn't have AC pumping back then. So they're outside, or they're inside, whatever. It gets hot. What happens to wax when it melts? When it gets hot, I answered my own question. Thank you, Coral. I got that look of you like, yeah, okay. So when it gets hot, it melts, right? So what happened, what's revealed? The blemish. They weren't solid. With ourselves, you guys, sometimes we talked about a little bit ago, we want to conceal. If we would have just put powder on that staph infection, would it solved anything? No, absolutely not. We would have still had a hole within us. And sometimes we can go to church and we can go sit in our small groups and we sit in our Bible studies and we sit here and we do this and we do that and we do all the good things. And deep within us, there's an infection working within us. You know, all the things that we talked about, all these different things that can cause it. And they're working from our inside out. And here we are trying to cover up the last picture that I showed you with a concealer. It doesn't work. It's going to come out. It's going to win. So you have to deal with the cause. You have to get down. You have to deal with it. But how do I deal with the cause? How do I deal with the outbreak? What steps can I take to become blemish free? The first step that you got to do, sorry, I'm trying to find, is connect with God. Okay, this comes through confessing and asking for help. In Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 77:1, he says, David writes and he says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. You know, looking at it, God can take something. God wants us to be blemish free. And he's really good at making us that way. It just takes us being vulnerable to him. I mean, so, It's hard for me sometimes to sit down with God. I mean, just because I have a lot of hurts in my past and resentment, and sometimes I don't fully understand God. But the one thing that I have learned about God throughout my life and through pushing through some of those obstacles in my life is that He is actually on my side. And He does want life to be good for us. And sometimes it just takes acknowledging and trying to trust Him. And saying, oh, okay, God, and praying sincerely, not just thank you for the food and for my family and having, hope we all have a good night. In Jesus' name, amen. No, God, something is at work within me, and I need to confess to you that I have disliked you. He can take it. He can handle it. I haven't liked the way you've handled things, and I'm mad, and I'm whatever. Take it to God. Confess it to Him. Talk to Him. Ask Him to help you through it. He is able to do those things. You know, God's powerful. If He could raise people from the dead, I'm pretty sure He could figure out how to clear up a few of you guys' scars or hurts. Two, you got to connect with God's people. This is where you confess and ask God's people for help. Have you guys ever heard the term, beauty is pain? Yeah, so like I'll be doing Hattie. I told Morgan that too one time. I'll be doing Hattie's hair, and she's like this, oh, Mom, because she got like this curly hair, and you know, like I have straight hair, so I'm learning to mess with it. So she's got this curly hair, and she's always playing. I'm like, oh, come on, Hattie, you're fine. Beauty is pain. And she's like, I don't even know what that means. And I'm like, oh, you'll learn someday when you get your eyebrows waxed or whatever, you know. And we're talking, and I'm just messing with her. But it's true. Sometimes beauty is pain, and spiritually, it can be too. And opening yourself up, like I said, I really struggle with not wanting to open myself up to people and emotions and feeling vulnerable. I don't like it. It's hard for me. It appears to be painful a lot of times. But what is my option here? I don't do it and I inevitably die? No. You know, I take a risk. I put myself out there. I talk to people. I become vulnerable. If you guys if you're blemished, open yourself up to the people around you that can help you. Reveal it to them. And when they give you advice to fix this blemish, for crying out loud, please listen. What good does it do to go to a doctor, a specialist, and they give you a prescription and you don't fill it? It does nothing. You just get worse, right? So when you have a problem, when you have a blemish and you go to someone, you say, oh, I have this. I need help. And they say, okay, well, you know, that means that you're going to have to sacrifice some things that you really love. Then do it. It's going to be hard, but do it. If you trust God, if you want a better life at all, you got to listen and connect with His people. God's people are intended to be a blessing in your life. I'm not going to say His name because I don't want to embarrass him, but my small group, my teenagers in my small group, are like some of the best kids that I've ever worked with. My husband was telling me at his guy time the other night that they were just talking about how are things at home. Because we have kids that come from really rough homes, okay, where they have nothing. And so he has to ask them pretty consistently because they start to feel like resentful or sad or, you know, whatever. So he's talking to them and he asks them, and one of the boys speaks up and he says, I don't know, RJ, like, I'm just really sad because I just go home and it's been getting cold and we don't have gas, you know, and he says, it's not hot in my house, and then I take a cold shower and I get out and I'm freezing and he has nothing. They don't have gas. One of my kids, I don't call them my kids, it's funny, because I'm like too young to have them, but one of them has a bedroom that's about like this, like from that to that and here. So that's like his bedroom, and he has a mattress on the floor, and it's a closet. And so they're talking, and they're talking to each other, and the really cool thing was he was really embarrassed to say it. Like, you know, like, I don't have these things, and I'm bothered and whatever. And then one of my other guys, one of my seniors, speaks up. And he's like, you don't have to be embarrassed at all. There was a week when, you know, last summer where my dad left. He just left. And I had my brother and my sister, and he was just gone. And we didn't have gas, and the water was cold. And all we had was a big old package of ramen noodles. And I cooked it for him all week. And I would boil water, and we'd all share the bath. And he says, so you don't have to be embarrassed. It's okay. Because I totally know where you're coming from. And then another one of my guys spoke up. And then RJ got to say, I didn't have anything either. When I was young, I remember laying up in the attic of my room was in the attic, and we didn't have air conditioning. All I had was a window fan. And I remember laying in my bed just hot, like burning up hot and just mad. Like that I was embarrassed, you know. And the really cool thing about that was he got to open up, and then he connected on every level. See, that's the way it's supposed to be when you open yourself up to God's family. We're supposed to share each other's hurts. We're supposed to share each other's burdens. Now I know, and I'm able to be like, okay, I can't turn his gas on, but I absolutely can go find him a new pair of shoes where he can feel good about himself a little bit. I can help do some things. I can absolutely show him that his life doesn't have to be like his family's. You know, that RJ can stand up and say, I was there, and my life is nothing like that now. There's hope. And that's what connecting is about. Sometimes it's about getting a good swift kick in the butt. You're not doing something right, and you need to face it. You need to get rid of that blemish. Sometimes it's saying, you know, that's out of your control, but I can help. It doesn't have to be that way. That's what connecting is for. So, you know, with your relationships, you guys, do people challenge you? As a mother, as a wife, as a leader, you know, do you have those people that will pick you up off the floor in the worst of times? I mean, I do. I know I've had to have people pick me up off the floor when I was in a ball crying during some of the hard times of my life. But do you have that? Is your church that overall? Do you feel that? Three, you have to consider what's at stake. Sorry, guys. He says, as you shine like stars in the universe. Do you guys know your blemish can be so unattractive to the world around you that people do not want to be around you? And because of you, God's purpose is removed from the situation. When you choose to give in to these blemishes, whether they're attitudes like the ones at Philippi with one another, discontentment, whether it's fault-finding, grumbling, or complaining, doubt, anger, manipulation, pride, we could go on and on and on. You guys, listen, you leave the world dark. You leave it dark, and you forsake every reason that you became a Christian to begin with, that you became a follower to begin with. When you give in to the blemishes that others placed upon you, the ones that were out of your control. When you say, I was abused, I don't care, it doesn't matter, it doesn't affect me, so I'm just going to be bitter and angry and just know that God has nothing good in him. So I'll ruin my children's life, too, because I'll teach them to act just like me. And we can all be miserable together. When you give in to those things, whether it's by your own sinful nature or by the sinful nature that others have placed upon you, listen, the world remains darker. And isn't it dark enough already? People are leaving our churches, you guys. People are leaving churches because they don't feel loved. The one place that they're supposed to run into to feel warmth and love, they're not getting it. They don't feel loved. They don't feel relational. They don't feel genuine. They see hypocrisy. And ladies, we need to repent. If you are that person, if you have been doing that, you need to repent and clear your face. And you need to do it quickly because the stakes are high. In Philippians 2:16, he says, hold firmly to the word of life. Then on that day, Christ returned, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Paul says, these are the stakes, like it or not. If we don't remove them in the end, we will have ran in vain. Greater Alton beginning 20-some years ago will mean absolutely nothing. We will have worked all those years to build it, to let it crumble. The crossings, going out on the plant 7.5 years ago with 30 people, and if we don't deal with our blemishes now, in 10 to 15 years, we will go down to absolutely nothing. We will have ran and we will have toiled and we will have worked in vain. And it's not okay because it's the most selfish thing that we could do to the people around us. Four, you have to commit to memory, Philippians 2:13 and 4:13. And it says this, for it is God who works in you to will and act accordingly to his good purpose. He goes on in 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You guys, he can and he will give you strength. I wanted to play a song, but I don't have the time. So you can write it down. You can YouTube it. It's Call Me Beautiful by Jenny Owens. And pretty much she just talks about feeling flawed and unwanted and blemished and how God came in and cleaned her up. And now he says, and you call me beautiful, and you say I'm your own, and you hold the key to my heart, and now I can actually learn to live. And she talks about, please try and listen to the song if you get an opportunity. But God, you know, God has this, he wants to give us strength, you guys. It says just that. We don't have to be a product of our environment. Look around the church. We are a great testimony to what can happen when you choose to remove some of the blemishes that were placed upon you. Look at Stephanie stood up here. She was my mentor all through high school. Well, since I was little, especially through high school because I was crazy. You know, and here I would have never had her. She would have been dead. She would have been gone if she wouldn't have chose to deal with some blemishes. I think of Janice, who was always on me. Ashley, a hurt is a hurt. Quit shutting down. That's like all I hear from her. Hurt is a hurt. Quit shutting down. All right. You know, it drives me crazy. But she's a great testimony of how God can clean somebody up. We have countless people that are that. Cassie is that. You know, I look around. Colleen is that. I could pick through all of, so many of you and say, you know, God can clean you up. He has. So I don't care. You guys, God can make you clean. You don't feel beautiful. So if you look in the mirror and say, I don't feel beautiful, I know the feeling. I feel blemished. I feel scarred. Most women do. But God says you're beautiful. And those blemishes, they're nothing when they come to Him. You guys, we were made, Paul says, and God says, we were made to shine. That's really cool. I mean, I find it flattering that God would look at me and say, Ashley, you were intended for this. You were made to shine. I feel special. And it doesn't matter what blemish has been placed upon you or what you put on yourself because I can clean it up. We can make choices to clear the blemishes that others have stained upon us, and we can become blemish-free. If you guys will pray with me, that'll be it. Father in heaven, God, I know that I kind of feel all over the place and I rushed, and I just pray that you, your Spirit was able to work through me and make me even a little bit clear to what you want. People to hear, God, that you wanted me to hear. I know this lesson was really challenging for me to work through because, man, I just struggle with it. I struggle with my spiritual beauty. Like, just, it's just so hard sometimes, God. But I know, like, I've seen your works, and I know your power, and I know you can do some pretty crazy things. Just, God, I pray that I trust you through those things and that I'm always evaluating myself and cleaning myself up, God. I pray that the rest of the ladies' retreat goes wonderfully, and that everybody gets something out of it. Thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.